The title of my message today, it's no treat to be tricked. It's no treat to be tricked. And I thought, you know, the last thing people want to hear is a message on Halloween. But guess what? But I think it's important that we remember and we reflect on what Halloween is, how it affects society, and how eventually it affects us as God's people. And Halloween is a big, big deal. Consumers spend a huge amount of money during this time. $2.8 billion spent on adult and children's costumes. This is one you may think is the greatest thing since buttermilk. I still am in awe of this number, $350 million for pet costumes. Now, if you're into dressing your cat up to look like a dog, but $350 million for pet costumes. This one, $2.2 billion on candy. I like candy, but not $2.2 billion worth. It's a lot of candy. $2 billion on decorations, decorating your house to be the scariest house in the neighborhood. $2 billion spent for a total of $7.4 billion spent on Halloween. Now for Thanksgiving, for the meals to be prepared, for families to come together, to actually be thankful and thanking God for all the things we've been blessed with, $2,875,000,000 is spent. A whole lot less on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has become the lost holiday. It's lost between Halloween and Christmas. Doesn't get a lot of airtime anymore. Because when you look at society, society is really an unthankful and ungrateful society. Because we've been told for so many years since we were young, you deserve it. You deserve it. You should have this. You should have all of these good things. So why should we be, if I deserve it, why should I be thankful? Our society, and not only here in this country, but around the world, are not thankful anymore. So Thanksgiving is something that they may or may not do. But why do children and adults get so excited about celebrating a day that represents evil? When you think about it, and if most people would give a couple of minutes to think about it, it doesn't make any sense. Why would we get so excited about celebrating a day that represents evil? Most people, when asked if they're Christians, say yes, and they believe in God. Why then would they think it's okay to take part in something that goes against everything God stands for? Doesn't add up. Just shows that people aren't thinking. They aren't trying to put two and two together. But there is an answer for this. If you turn with me to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. An answer for why people do what they do. Very familiar scripture, Revelation 12 and verse 9. Revelation 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. The world is deceived. They don't put evil together with Halloween. They don't even think about Satan as our adversary, as our enemy on Halloween. But we as Christians are at war And we must be knowledgeable of who our enemy is and what tactics he uses in his effort to defeat us. Defeat not only us, but all of mankind. Because that's what he does. That's what Satan does 24/7, is try to destroy us. Ephesians, if you turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Halloween makes Satan, makes evil, makes the demonic world to be a fairy tale. Makes it out that it's just a story, it's not real. But what scripture tells us here in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Satan is real. What he's doing is real. And we're also told in these verses to protect ourselves, to put on the whole armor of God, to realize what this holiday stands for, to realize the harm that can be done, to realize how opposite from God's way this holiday is. And if we follow the direction of our general, as we go into battle, our general Jesus Christ, we will be victorious. We won't be swayed, we won't be confused, we won't be deceived and begin to think, well, look, you know, this puts a smile on all the little children's faces. They get to dress up, they get to pretend like they're a demon or a devil, or they get to do this or that. It's cute. There's no harm in this. You're old-fashioned. You're just an old fuddy-duddy. We know better. And we must know and remember that our enemy cannot be trusted. Satan can't tell us that Halloween's a fairy tale and it's a good thing, and we believe it. He can't convince us of that. Remember the story of the Trojan horse? And how everybody in the behind the walls thought, wow, look at here, a gift. A gift. We've beaten that army. We've beaten our enemy, and they've given us a gift in defeat. That's great. So they brought the Trojan horse inside the walls. And as they partied, got drunk, passed out, after hours and hours of partying and drinking, and after they were all passed out, 300 of their enemies came out of that Trojan horse and killed them all. They didn't know who they were fighting against. They thought they won. How nice our enemy is to give us this horse. It was truly a gift. But it was a gift that brought death. They didn't know their enemy. Are we sometimes fooled into thinking that our enemy, the devil, isn't so bad? You know, we see these little cartoons with one guy here and one guy here, and they're just kind of bickering. Do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it. That's not how it works. Satan gets into our mind. Are we brainwashed into thinking he's just a guy dressed up in a suit, got a couple little horns, fancy mustache and a tail that comes to a point, and every once in a while he gives us a little jab with his pitchfork? Other than that, yeah, he's a pretty good guy. No harm, he doesn't mean any harm. Halloween is a fun time for kids. Think about all of the kids in this town tonight that are going to go from house to house ringing doorbells, and they're going to go up in their cute little costumes, and they're going to tell the homeowners trick or treat. And then they're going to go on to the next house. Why would we think there's any harm in that? Why would anybody think there's harm in that? Are we just old-fashioned? Could it be possible that some of the things that were once done to worship false gods, like Halloween, and they did that replacing the one and only true God, but today, in 2015, could it now be okay? Could God look at it differently because it's harmless and fun? What harm does it do? We don't pay any attention to it. We draw the curtains. We close the door. They're not going to come here. So we don't really have to give it any attention at all. But we need to take a look at what God's Word says to determine if Halloween is something that God is okay with. Because certainly people will tell you it's okay. You're just old-fashioned. You don't know what you're talking about. It's a good thing. Well, we need to begin by looking at the words of wisdom that God gave to Israel when they were about to cross into the promised land. Words that should resonate with all of us. Words that we should have in the forefront of our mind. And remember, because again, all of this was given to our forefathers in ancient Israel as an example for you and I. They were given a land flowing with milk and honey and all of the good things that God would provide. But he had some things he wanted to tell them. He had some warnings he wanted to give them. And he did. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 18, if you would. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18 and in verse 9. Deuteronomy 18 and in verse 9. And the heading here says, avoid wicked customs. Now that's what God is telling Israel to do. Avoid them. Don't get caught up in it. In verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from the land before you. I'm driving them out of this land and giving it to you. Don't do as these people did. Don't even think about it. Deuteronomy 12, if we go back a few verses. Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. And in verse 29, again, the heading here is beware of false gods. Beware, a warning. Verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go out to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, when they're gone and you take over, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them, that you're not deceived, that you're not confused about what they're doing, that you're not drawn into it because, hey, everybody's doing that. Look at the kid, look at the smile on the little kid's face. Isn't that cute? We ought to do that. God's saying, don't do that. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire, don't even ask, after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. Let's see what they did. Maybe they had a better deal. Let's check it out and see. God says, don't do that. In verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods, sacrificing their children, and they found a way to justify that. Unbelievable. But Satan, our enemy, our adversary, convinced them it was okay. You can do this. Colossians, if you turn there with me, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Again, another warning here for you and I. Because we need to be aware. We need to think about these things. We need to watch our enemy, know what he's doing, why he's doing it, how he's doing it. Because Satan, believe me, will not give up. If one way doesn't work, he'll try another. If that doesn't work, he'll try another. Colossians 2, chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We can't let anyone cheat us out of our inheritance, out of one day entering the kingdom of God. And we can be. We're not above being fooled. If we let down in our relationship with God, we open a door for Satan to come in and attack. It's happened before. Let's look at an example. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 28. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 28. Again, someone who knew better, but yet gave in to searching out someone other than God. 1 Samuel in verse 28. We're talking about Saul, king of Israel. And in verse 3, chapter 28, verse 3, now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritualists out of the land. Saul knew what to do with them. To get them out of their land. There was no place for them. They had no position. They wanted nothing to do with them. And in verse 7, things change. Things weren't going right for Saul. He didn't feel like his prayers were being answered. He didn't feel like God was communicating to him in dreams and visions, giving him advice on what to do. He felt like God had just kind of left him alone. And in verse 7, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. Paul, after throwing the sorcerers, the mediums, out of the land, now went back after he had broken down in his relationship with God, was seeking them out. And the reason he wanted to seek out a medium was to contact Samuel. And he knew Samuel was dead. And Paul knew when a person was dead, they're dead. But yet he was looking for a medium to make contact. Doesn't make sense. But again, a tactic of Satan. Made sense to Saul. But why are such strange celebrations like Halloween so popular? Why would anyone celebrate a holiday emphasizing the living dead and demons? What would make people want to do that? Last night, I saw yesterday some promos on TV. Last night, they had a live exorcism on TV. Hopefully, nobody watched it. But what are they thinking? But Satan has convicted him. It's no big deal. Not harmful. Not dangerous. And the ratings could be sky high. But people just aren't thinking because Satan has confused them into thinking he's not real. He's a story, a fairy tale. We've talked about this in the past. The roots of Halloween go way back to pagan celebrations. And just some things I'll share here with you out of the Encyclopedia of Religion. It says Halloween, or All Hallows' Eve, is a festival celebrated on the 31st of October, the evening before the Christian feast of All Saints' Day. Like other pagan holidays, Christianity is, or they're brought into Christianity. So it justifies why people do it. It's okay now, it's Christian. We've determined it's a Christian holiday, you can keep it. But Halloween is a name for the eve of, and I'll spell this for you, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, and it's pronounced Sowin. I didn't get that pronunciation out of that, but that's what it says. That's how it's pronounced. And it's a celebration marking the beginning of winter as well as the first day of the new year within the ancient Celtic culture of the British Isles. So the time of Samhain consisted of the eve of the feast and the day itself, the 31st of October and November 1st. The Encyclopedia of Religion goes on to say, on this occasion, it was believed that a gathering of supernatural forces occurred as during no other time of the year. The evening and the next day of Samhain were described as a time when the barriers between the humans and supernatural worlds were opened. So a time when humans could communicate with spirits and spirits could communicate with humans. This allowed the souls of the dead to visit earthly inhabitants, and the humans could take the opportunity to cross over into the domains of the gods and other supernatural creatures, visiting someplace they really shouldn't be. All types of tributes were made, including sacrifices of animals, crops, and human beings. And those sacrifices were made to appease the supernatural powers. And we read that back in Deuteronomy where children were being sacrificed. Huge bonfires were built to frighten off the evil spirits. I don't get that one. Apparently there were categories of spirits and some were evil, some weren't. But huge bonfires were built to frighten off the evil spirits because the souls of the dead were supposed to visit their former homes. The festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, hobgoblins, black cats, fairies, and demons of all kinds. As with other pagan celebrations, church leaders, as church leaders will do, adopted this ancient practice to serve their own purpose. We don't want to offend anybody. And there's an article here. I didn't read this morning, but I pulled this off the internet. I was looking, and what I typed in there is, what should Christians do at Halloween? Just wanted to see what was said. And it says here, therefore, there are some Christians who ignore Halloween completely and treat the day like any other day of the year. They do this because they believe that the Bible commands, or at the very least, encourages Christians to do so. For them, celebrating Halloween in any form is compromising our belief in Christ. And here's a response to that. It says, while it is certainly true that Halloween is not a harmless holiday, it is possible to be involved in doing something constructive on this day without participating in the unfruitful works of darkness. Our next few options will look at some of these possibilities. So the options are, use Halloween as a chance to witness to those in your neighborhood. So go ahead and do what they do, but as you're doing it, just explain to them, I'm not doing this because I'm worshiping Satan. I'm doing it because I'm witnessing to God, a witness for God to you. Doesn't make any sense. It says option four is, have a Christian celebration. And this is for, it says here in italics, for believers only. It says there are those who only want to be with Bible-believing Christians on this particular night. They do not want to engage unbelievers or view any of the sordid things which are associated with Halloween. Consequently, there are gatherings which take place at churches or in houses which is limited to believers in Jesus Christ. Christians use these gatherings to celebrate light rather than darkness. Some Christians have dress-up parties where they come as Bible characters. In this way, they can have an alternative celebration with other believers without coming into contact with evil elements which are associated with Halloween. This certainly is an option for those who believe in Christ. And then in the conclusion here, it says, each believer must do what is right for them. Doesn't matter what you do. What's right for you? Doesn't matter what Scripture says. Doesn't matter what God says. What's right for you? It goes on to say, Halloween seems to be one of those issues where each Bible believer must individually choose what to do. This should be based upon our own personal convictions. In other words, it is ultimately between us and the Lord. Therefore, there is no right or wrong answer as to how a Christian should celebrate or not celebrate Halloween. Totally contrary to what God says. God says, have nothing to do about with it. Don't inquire about it. Don't ask. Don't get involved. Stay away. But that's not how the world sees things. That's not how religions, other religions see things. Because Satan has done his job. He's convinced them that there's no problem. The British church attempted to divert this interest in pagan customs by adding a Christian celebration to their calendar on the same day as sowing. So we're just going to have a party. Only it's Christian. So we're just going to replace this with something else. The Christian festival, Feast of All Saints, commemorates the known and unknown saints of the Christian religion, just as sowing had acknowledged and paid tribute to the Celtic deities. Some of the ancient practices still exist today. And it's strange, right? I've done this before. I can't remember. But bobbing for apples. And apparently they do that at Halloween parties or whatever. But bobbing for apples, which was done as a form of fortune telling. That was done as a form of fortune telling. The first person to bite an apple was the first to be married in the new year. That's what they thought. That was the whole purpose of bobbing for apples. In a book written by Jack Santino, All Around the Year, Holidays and Celebrations in American Life, he writes that the jack-o'-lantern represents watchmen on Halloween night, or a man caught between earth and the supernatural world. Continuing to be involved in the occult and do spiritual things. But God's word condemns the occult, as we've seen, as we've read in Scripture. It condemns it. And some might miss the demonic symbolism that's associated with Halloween as harmless fun. What does it hurt? And we'll hear that from anybody we bring up Halloween in conversation with. Well, what does it hurt? Doesn't hurt a thing. But the Bible reveals the existence of evil spirits. And Satan has convinced most of the world that that's not true. They don't exist. It's only a story. But the evil spirits that we're told about in the Bible, they're led by Satan, the devil, who God holds responsible for the great suffering and sorrow he has inflicted on the human race. God holds Satan responsible, and one day Satan will pay. Remember Revelation 12:9, Satan deceives the whole world. He's done his job well. The name Satan means adversary or enemy. That should catch everybody's attention right there. He is our enemy. We need to be aware of who he is, what he does, how he does it, and what his goal is. His goal is to destroy God's human creation. You and I and every other human being. Satan's mission is to destroy. Let's turn to 1 John, if you would. 1 John. First John chapter 5. Again, if we think about this verse, when we're thinking about things like Halloween or something in the occult, or if we're thinking about watching an exorcism on TV, we need to think about this verse. Verse 19, 1 John 5 and verse 19, we know that we are of God. We know that. We know we're called of God. We know that God's given us the understanding of his word. We know that God's blessed us as he's opened our mind to understand what he's doing, to understand that there is a devil, there is a Satan, there are demons. There are evil spirits out there. But we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world, as it says in Revelation 12:9, the whole world lies under the sway, under the deception of the evil one. Our chief enemy and his army of demons continually try to keep mankind spiritually blinded, and they do a good job of that. Because Halloween is a big deal. $7.4 billion says it's a big deal. It makes my children happy. We get to dress them up. We get to go to parties. We get to scare each other. When you look at the movies that have been made that dealt with Halloween, millions and I'm sure billions of dollars there, because people don't have a clue what they're dealing with. that it is real. And it can cost them not only their physical life, but it can cost them their spiritual life as well. God commands us to avoid things that will harm us. Let's turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And in verse 31. It doesn't get any clearer than this. Leviticus 19 and verse 31. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Don't inquire, don't seek, don't have anything to do with them. Let God handle Satan. Let God handle his demons. God's very capable of doing that. We don't want to get involved. Saul, after throwing them out of the country, then found himself calling for a medium. And you wonder, how did that happen? But God has called his people, God has called you and I to a higher standard. Instead of superstitions and myths, God tells us to look to him for our blessings and our directions. Not to a medium or a sorcerer or anyone like that. The modern day celebration of Halloween might appear on the surface to be harmless. Just kids having fun. When I was a kid, adults didn't dress up. Adults didn't get involved. Today, I would say there's probably as many adults as there are kids that get involved in this big time. I mentioned I used to watch Roseanne. I'm sure some of you have watched Roseanne. But when it first began, it was kind of funny. They were a family just making it from paycheck to paycheck. You know, just trying to get by like we all do. But when Halloween came on, they had money coming out their ears apparently because the money they had spent on decorating their house was crazy. And that was the first real thing that really turned me off about the show because it was nuts. You don't have enough money for food. You don't have enough money to pay your bills, but you did all of this for Halloween. It's crazy. But it wouldn't surprise me the way Halloween is growing and the importance and people want to be involved that people go into debt for Halloween like they do Christmas. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But the spiritual harm that can be done when we choose to dabble in the spirit world is very serious. Very serious. Fortune telling. Wouldn't we all like to know what's in our future? Aren't we curious? You see these signs, or I see them around Lansing. Your fortune told for 10 bucks or whatever it is. By a spiritualist. Hopefully I've got enough sense never to stop. Ouija boards. Do we want to see if they really work? I don't care if they work. And if they work, you can bet it's not of God. Astrology, voodoo, clairvoyance, black magic, these are all related to the occult. Something God has told us to stay away from. Don't inquire about it. How does that work? How does that Ouija board work? Don't inquire. If we know Scripture, And we know who Satan is and the power that Satan has. We know how that Ouija board works. Satanic forces, or the worship of things forbidden by God in Scripture, are there for us. Written for us as a warning to stay away from, just as he warned Israel. Don't get involved. Don't inquire. Don't get interested in what people are doing. Matthew 22, if you turn there with me. Saul would have been well off if he would have done this. If he would have kept his relationship with God on solid ground. Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus was asked a question about which is the greatest commandment in the law. And he said in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Loving God, serving God, not getting sidetracked, not getting deceived, not getting caught up in the world's activities that are totally contrary to God's. Not wanting to be part of the group, not caring to be part of that group, but honoring God by what we do. Exodus 20. If we do these things, it's a guarantee we won't get caught up in this stuff. It's a guarantee we'll keep the right focus on God and not worry about these things. Exodus 20 and in verse 1. "And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." In verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." No one but God. No nice little stories, ghost stories. No getting involved in things that are contrary to God's way, like Halloween. No getting involved in sorcery or mediums or fortune telling. But looking to God for the answers to our future. God has those answers. But God says, "Have no other God before me." Makes that very clear. God alone is a giver of life. God alone provides all the good things for you and I. To give any amount of recognition to false gods by observing practices that honor them, that's unacceptable and idolatrous. God doesn't accept that. God doesn't acknowledge that. God wants to be worshiped. God wants to be our God. So when we look at Halloween and we think about, you know, all the cute little advertisements, we think about the kids in school for the Halloween parties and the Halloween parade and all of that going on. Is that like the Trojan horse? We've invited it in. We brought it in. But it's not acceptable to God. It's from our enemy. It's from the one who wants to destroy us. Little by little. And what does Scripture tell us? Even Satan can make his ministers look good. That's what he does. That's how he operates. So Halloween is a serious business, especially for God's people, that we stay far, far away from it. We don't inquire. We don't get involved because that's exactly what God's directed us to do. Put God first and realize the harm that Halloween brings to us. And we certainly would not want to give up what God has given us, what God's blessed us with, to go off and worship some pagan god and to give someone else our full attention and our loyalties. So we have to remember that it's no treat to be tricked. It can be a very deadly thing. But that's how our enemy, Satan the devil, along with his demons, that's how he works, that's how he operates. That's what he does. And he is real. And he is dangerous. And he wants nothing more than to take your spiritual life from you. And from me. And from all of God's people. So let's be aware of who our enemy is. What he uses, what tactics he uses to try to destroy not only us, but all of mankind. Because then he comes out the winner. But we know through Scripture that doesn't happen. He just hasn't realized it yet. So Halloween, big deal to a lot of people. It's also a big deal to God. And it's also a big deal to our number one enemy. So let's not be fooled. Let's not be tricked. Let's think about how Satan operates in our daily life and realize things like Halloween, things like the occult, all of these movies that deal with the undead, just a tool, Satan's tool, to get into our minds and convince us that he's not real, that it's only stories. But Scripture has shown us, and God has shown us, that Satan certainly is real and that we're to protect ourselves and have nothing at all to do with him.